Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
And welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside the great Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 taking you through Friday morning. Look, I'm just telling it how it is. The best dressed man in sports.
He says Steve Lehman. That as I'm wearing a hoodie, by the way.
He also has a compliment for everybody that comes on the show, too. So.
But I don't ever call anybody the best dressed man.
I know that, Steve Lehman. But it's a different compliment for different people.
Well, it is. But you know, Robbie's you have to be nice.
Robbie, you're a nice guy, man.
You know, that's what I do.
We appreciate you.
That's what I'm here for. Look.
Give me a compliment on this Friday. I need it.
Munson, you are, without doubt, the most beautiful producer in the history of sports radio.
I appreciate that, man, because there's some pretty bad ones out there.
Yeah. There we go.
Look, this is what we're about here, positive affirmation.
We do need kindness today.
We do, because we don't have sports.
We don't have much of anything, to be honest.
We don't. There's a... After the news of yesterday, Steve, it's been incredible to watch like how quickly this has devolved to where it's gotten. Because we had Chris Johnston from Sportsnet on the show like literally 2 days ago, and he was saying, you know, we were going through the, you know, the possibilities of the NHL eventually playing with no fans in the building and getting through all that. And he said, you know, there is something on the table in terms of just, you know, postponing the season. And I remember hearing that and saying, okay, we're probably still a long way from getting to that point. And here we are less than 48 hours later, and the NHL season has been suspended, the NBA season, the NCAA tournament got canceled. Sports has basically been put on hold. It's been incredible.
Yeah, sports have been canceled, at least for the time being. And to feel how small you are in the world, you only need like your entire livelihood to get canceled in one afternoon to be like, wow, this is really not as important as maybe some people thought it was. Yesterday was just a gut punch day. Yeah. I don't know how to put it any differently than that. I mean, obviously, first and foremost, you pray for the people out there who are inflicted with this terrible virus, and you pray that all the people who aren't stay unafflicted by it. And, you know, people are healed and people stay safe, and that this does not become an absolute travesty here in the U.S. or worldwide, frankly. It's already a really, really huge problem. So that's first and foremost on everybody's mind. But when you see the fundamental nature of life change for so many people, that's a really hard day. And you look around and you think about all the people who work in these arenas where there's no longer events, and a lot of the people in those jobs get paid by the hour or paid by the event. And now that's not going to happen for at least a month, maybe longer. And you see freelance sports people in our business who oftentimes get paid by the event. And now they don't get that for a while. I mean, heck, even selfishly, it's like, what are we going to talk about? Or what am I going to put on the news for the next several weeks at this point? It's such a fundamental change. And at the very, very basic level, for all the people who are out there driving right now on their way to work, I would guess for most of them, the reason why they turned us on this morning and every other morning for so long is because this helps them jumpstart their day. It's early. They probably don't want to be out of bed and going to work right now, but heck, for their 20 minute or 30 minute or whatever their commute is, they can escape briefly and catch up on the Predators or catch up on the Titans and get set for free agency or whatever it is. And now all of a sudden, there's essentially none of that. It was such a gut-punching day.
It was. And look, I mean, selfishly, I saw the news come out yesterday. And to be honest with you, Steve, as soon as I saw the NBA suspend their season, I knew the NHL wasn't that far behind. Like, if you're the NHL at that point, what a bad look it's going to be if you say, you know what, we're going to keep playing, and then 2 days later, one of your players tests positive for coronavirus. I mean, that's a very good way to just get slammed from a PR perspective. But I fall into that category. Like, I'm a freelance sports writer. Like, that's, and there it goes for a month. So it's just like, it's one of the, and look, there are people that are way worse off than I am. So I don't mean to throw a pity party or anything like that. But it's just, it's one of those things where, you know, this time last week, I thought we were probably a long way away from having this conversation.
This time Tuesday.
This time Tuesday. I mean, it is the speed at which this has happened just unbelievable. It's been crazy to watch.
Which is the scary thing about the whole coronavirus thing is that it is the great unknown. We've dealt with pandemics before. I mean, heck, you look at it, since 2000, we've had like 14 of them.
Yeah.
It's not like this never happens. But this one has been totally different in the sense that I think the virus is different. That's part of it. I don't think they have a great base of knowledge from it. But I also think there's a ton of blame, and this maybe isn't the moment or morning for a lot of blame, but I think there's a ton of blame to go around to the political nature of the country right now. And frankly, my colleagues in the media at large, in that there was a real lack of information about this. And when it was in China, I think the media at large, well, one, to be honest, they were so worried about impeachment that they stopped worrying about the rest of
everything
the world.
Else, yeah.
And frankly, the far greater concern for the country was a pandemic coming to the U.S.
Yeah.
than whatever people were worried about in that congressional hearing or over those months of congressional hearings. And so we weren't telling anybody about what this is or what it could be or how to be prepared for it and what you needed to know, basically. And so then all of a sudden it was on our shores and it was like, oh gosh, what happens? And it's gotten out of control. And obviously they had issues with the testing and the rollout at the beginning. And I just think there's been a real lack of information of what the citizens needed to know in this case. And we still don't, I think, completely know what we need to know. I mean, just how transmittable is it? Mm-hmm. It's pretty clear that it's more than the flu, but is it, you know, like
how much more?
1% to 1.5%, or is it 1% to 5%? That's not totally clear. And then once you get it, just how lethal is it?
Yeah.
Because if you look at the raw numbers, people keep quoting this that it's like 10 to 15 to 20 times higher. 3.5%, I think, is roughly the worldwide mortality rate. But if you actually dig into those numbers, you also hear from all these people that say, but there's so many people who don't even know they have it.
Right.
Well, here's the problem with that in a number sense. If all these people don't know they have it, that's actually a good thing because it means it's a far less lethal disease or virus at this point. So I just think there's been a real lack of transparency from a lot of different people here who've led to a level of hysteria. And maybe it's right. Maybe we should have this level of hysteria and everything should shut itself down. But it's been troubling how slow the information has been to leak out as the disease spreads quickly.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously, in our world, the sports world, this has had a tremendous effect. I mean, I don't think we're done nationwide just kind of seeing what effect this has. I mean,
sure.
Congress shut down yesterday until April 1st. I mean, there's a lot of things I think that we probably haven't seen yet in terms of things, events, you know, gatherings in public, everyday life. I mean, schools are closed. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. I don't think we've seen the end of that yet.
Yeah. What do you think about that, by the way? Because I could make an argument if there's one group of people in the world that need to trudge through the dangers of coronavirus, it would be Congress.
Congress, yes.
There's a lot of things they need to do, like, immediately.
Yes.
One of them, for instance, is the fact that something like 95% of all the surgical masks in this country are made in China.
Yeah.
China doesn't like us very much. I don't know if anybody's figured that out yet, because it should have been apparent a long time ago.
Yes.
I mean, frankly, President Trump ran on that 3 years ago.
Yes.
But we've stop paying attention to it. So that's a real problem, especially as we head into a health crisis. It takes Congress to pass a bill that is on the floor right now, by the way, but it takes both houses to actually be there and vote on it, where
have
we
to be
can
present.
We can put in an emergency bill that would allow us to produce more surgical masks. If there was ever a time for a group of people to trudge through what's going on and vote on something and get it done, it seems like now would be the time.
You would think.
But at the same time, if they're not going to go to work, why are all the people driving out there going to work? Like, we've determined that, we're not going to play sports, but you better show up at your accounting job on this Friday morning and put in an 8-to-5. But Congress isn't going to go to work at the same time. It just, to me, that's the infuriating part of this, is because it feels like there's a lot of mixed messages going on. And I think that only leads to the misinformation and the confusion, which then I think leads to a level of hysteria that we've seen over the last couple of days.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And, you know, professional sports leagues are one thing, like the NHL, the NBA, they're eventually going to come back. They're eventually going to start playing again. Yes. They're probably going to finish this season again, unless things just go completely haywire right. That we're not anticipating right now. Feel really bad for the NCAA tournament participants because that's not going to happen. I mean, they're going to be done with that. Both men's and women's, you know, spring sports have been canceled in the NCAA as well. Like, this is just something that's really troubling from that aspect. And look, we were having the conversation yesterday, you know, the SEC tournament at that time before we got off the air yesterday was still on. I mean, they were still going to attempt to play games in front of or without fans in the building. The NCAA tournament was going to attempt to do the same thing. But like, at some point you knew that you can't have, you know, professional sports leagues closing up shop essentially and then be trotting out amateurs out there and just be like, yeah, go ahead, play, and not have any worries about it. So that those are the people from just a sports and an athlete perspective that I feel for, because, you know, some of these teams, that maybe this is the first time they've made the NCAA tournament in 20 years, maybe ever. And those are the teams that I really felt bad for yesterday.
I mean, think about Dayton. Think about San Diego State. They were going to be number one, maybe number two seeds in the NCAA tournament. Arguably their greatest teams of all time. If you're a fan, if you're a player at that school, you know, how do you let this go? This was such an opportunity. It was poised to be the most fun March of your life, maybe. And now that's taken away from you. If you're Rutgers and you haven't been to the NCAA tournament forever and you're likely going to go, how do you get past this moment? And for any senior, I mean, think about the Belmont seniors. I had Tyler Scanlon in the studio on Sunday night on News Channel 5. And think about his week. He goes from making the game-winning bucket with 2 seconds left in the OVC championship on Saturday night to send Belmont back to the NCAA tournament. That entire team, they win a huge rivalry game. They get the automatic bid. What a season. What a moment. And Dylan Windler, or I'm sorry, Mazinski.
Yes.
Nick Mazinski was also in with them on Sunday. He said, well, one, this is pretty amazing because nobody thought we'd be here without Dylan Windler. But he said, it's also kind of surreal at this point, and I'm not sure I'm truly going to feel it and understand what it's like until we see our name pop up on that bracket on Sunday. And before we even get to Sunday, it's all over.
Yeah.
And there's no chance of it happening. And for a guy like Scanlon, who's a senior, think about that. The highest of highs, and less than a week later, from a sports perspective anyway, the lowest of lows.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff. What's your reaction to this? 615-737-1025. We'll take your calls and your text messages. Sports, essentially for the moment, have been shut down in our country. What was your reaction when this news started to come out a couple nights ago with the NBA, and then, of course, yesterday really picked up steam with the NHL, the NCAA, all these different entities closing up shop for the time being? We'll continue to have this discussion next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Steve Lehman here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 taking you through this Friday in a crazy day in the world of sports, in our country. Just an interesting time. And we were talking yesterday, Steve. I mean, this has got to be, and I, you know, people throw this out there all the time, it's got to be the biggest sports story of all time, I would think, at least up there.
Yeah. Well, to think of how far-reaching it is, you know, I mean, maybe you could make arguments that other individual sports stories have hit headlines or front pages in a different way than this before, but to think that literally everything is done, the only thing I'm aware of that's still competing right now in terms of like the top 15 things people in this country pay attention to is NASCAR at the moment.
Yeah.
Although I think they're having a press conference this morning, so that could change too, like we saw yesterday. But at the moment, NASCAR is planning on racing the next couple of weekends with no fans.
Right.
And very limited people along pit row and things like that. And it sounds like IndyCar is going to do the same thing. So the two motorsports appear like they're going to try to keep going in very weird circumstances.
Right.
But everything else, I mean, if there was one sport that you thought maybe they could compete, and their schedule's big enough right now that if they have no fans there, they're outside. If there's one sport that could do this, right? It was golf.
Yeah.
And they were at the Players' Championship, and they played yesterday, and they acted like, we're going to do this. And by the end of the night, they said, no, we're not.
Yeah.
We're not doing it. We're done. And not just this week. We're done the next few weeks, all the way up until the Masters.
Yeah. Just crazy. And like you said, of all the sports, you're talking about, like, these are individual players. You're outside. Yeah. You think maybe that's the one that has the chance to make it through. But I think, you heard Rory McIlroy yesterday was very vocal about it. I mean, if we're going to continue to have events, we need to get tested. There's a whole bunch of things you need to do until they get to that point, until the Masters come around. So just a crazy time. Johnny from White House texts in and says, I am completely broken inside. Going to get really, really good at Fortnite. I had a lot of people tell me yesterday that the video game industry is about to pick up heavily.
Yeah. Esports
is about to be
a real renaissance.
It's a real point of emphasis. There was a guy like live streaming on Twitter last night. He had, you know, NBA 2K on his TV and was like simulating the games as if he was just sitting there watching an actual NBA
that.
Game.
I said, I'm going to do my own version of the NCAA tournament on NBA 2K, and I'll just simulate. I'll just, play it that way.
Yeah.
So, Duke, congratulations. You're a national champion.
Wow, there you go. Well, Gino Auriemma, UConn women's basketball coach, had some interesting comments yesterday just talking about seniors in the NCAA tournament not getting a chance to play right now to close out their college careers. Here's what Gino Auriemma had to say.
My feeling is this. You have to – it's an unprecedented event, so you have to take unprecedented measures. You can't say this year never happened and wipe away everything because – some teams had amazing seasons, incredible accomplishments. They should not be diminished and shouldn't be wiped away. So in terms of each individual, I would be in favor of allowing all those that were seniors that have not had a chance to compete, not had a chance to play their spring season, that they should all be given another opportunity to play. And then regardless of what that does to your scholarship count, and the NCAA should foot the bill for that. Okay, well, we have more people on scholarship than we anticipated. We can't pay for it. Well, the NCAA should pay for that extra year. And, well, that's going to put us over the scholarship limit. Doesn't matter. It's a one-time exception. And what do you do about basketball? I guess if you have five seniors like we do and you say, hey, look, they all have the opportunity to come back. Well, then you know what? And a kid wants to come back, God bless you. I'm all for it.
What do you make of Gino Auriemma's comments there? Because he's right to this degree. This is certainly an unprecedented event that's taking place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the exact solution is when you're talking about eligibility and seniors potentially coming back because they weren't able to finish the season. Like, I'm not sure how you handle that. But I do think if you're the NCAA, you got to start thinking outside the box here about some of these issues. It can't just be, well, this is the way it's been. This is why we got to keep doing it.
His line that it's an unprecedented thing, which calls for unprecedented measures, I think is 100% right. And part of my frustration yesterday, Robbie, is that here's where I think the NHL did it right. And Sean Henry explained this very well yesterday. He said, we took a pause to the season, and you might ask what that means. That seems like a weird word to use, but that's what we're doing. We're pausing the season.
Yeah.
We don't know for how long. And he even threw in, like, is it next November? I mean, we don't know how long. It's possible that the NHL season will be completely lost.
Yeah.
And the next time we see them will be next year. That's possible. But there was no point for the NHL to come out yesterday and say that. Because if we can fix this in 4 weeks or 6 weeks, and they want to come back, however they do it, whether they cancel the rest of the regular season and start in the playoffs, but they can finish the 2019-2020 season. And I think that's what they plan to do. I was disappointed in the college sense yesterday. I get that you pretty much have to cancel all the events of this weekend. The SEC tournament, the Big Ten tournament, all that stuff was over. But the idea, given the circumstances, the unprecedented nature of this, that they wouldn't at least sit back and pause for a moment and think, is there any way we can do this?
Right.
March Madness. People in this country love March Madness. It's the greatest sporting tournament in the world. The idea that they didn't sit there for longer than like 3 hours, basically, and think, is there any way that we can hold on, and if we can come back in late April or whatever and have May Madness, I think the country, especially after going through what we're about to go through, if we could come back and do it, and look, maybe you can't have it at 13 different sites around the country. Maybe it takes 2 weeks at one site, and you're playing at 8 a.m. And the next day at 4 p.m., and maybe it's that, you know? Maybe it's totally different than what we've ever seen. But if it's something, I think the people would love it. The players certainly would love it. I think they needed to think it or think about it a little longer. I 100% get all the logistics they've talked about, but I do think it was a very quick decision to just end everything right now.
And to that point, Wayne from Spring Hill writes in on our text line and says, do you think the NCAA made a rash decision on canceling the College World Series? I mean, think about how far away the College World Series is. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about the NBA and the NHL, I mean, potentially being back. You know, Adam Silver said yesterday it's going to be 30 days minimum, and then we'll just kind of see where we're at. You know, College World Series is the summertime.
It's 3 months.
Yeah, it's 3 months away. Like, you could still, to me, I was very surprised to see that yesterday. I knew to be honest with you, I knew the NCAA tournament stuff was probably coming and was probably going to be inevitable. But when I saw that they were going to cancel the College World Series, I was like, that's in the summertime. How could you make that decision right now?
Right. So I can explain the reasoning logistically from talking to a few people yesterday. So you have a lot of schools around the country that are either canceling classes altogether or telling students to go home, get away from campus.
Vanderbilt being one of them.
And do their coursework online. Vanderbilt being one of them. I would not be surprised if you see that from Belmont, Lipscomb, others, when they get back from spring break and they sort of see what the rest of the country is reacting like. And the NCAA basically believed, how can we keep baseball and softball and track and field athletes, and if we want to postpone the NCAA tournament out of ways, basketball players, how can we keep them around campus and ask them to be there when schools are essentially telling everyone else to leave at this point? And they thought, that's too hard. I mean, if you look at their statement yesterday, that's actually the last line, is it basically said we thought it was impractical to even think we'd be able to host these events given the decisions made by other entities at this time. So that's ultimately what happened. I just hoped, again, we've never been in this position before, and trust me, if you told those Belmont seniors or Belmont basketball players or Sabrina Ionescu at Oregon, who is one of the greatest college basketball players we've ever seen on the women's side, some of these people, if you told them, look, go home, just like all your other students are going home. Do your coursework. Get ready for whatever's next for you at this point. But if things work themselves out, there's a shot that we might bring you back here on April 25th or something like that, and we'll practice for a week, and we'll play the NCAA tournament. I guarantee you every kid in the country, in every sport, would sign up for that deal.
Oh, yeah.
And it pains me that they didn't even allow that to be discussed logistically. You know, if we got to April 15th and they said, you know what, I just don't think we can make it happen, that's one thing. But to have done it within an hour or two of canceling the events of today, that to me seemed like it was a bit rash.
Yeah, I thought so too. And there's also drafts coming up that you've got to be cognizant of as well. And John Calipari talked about that yesterday, preparing his players for drafts that coming up when there's such an uncertain situation going on in the environment around us.
My biggest thing with these kids going forward is, all right, you have had families and you've had us structure, learning self-discipline, motivation. Now they're going on spring break. And now, you ready? They don't want them back on campus. Now I'm going to have four or five guys that are going to put their names in the draft. Scott, you ready? When is the draft? What is the draft?
Who knows?
When is the combine? When is the combine? Are they going to have people, players, fly in with their families and agents and work them out? Well, you're not coming to our campus because we're not letting you. Will there even be a draft? How do we Like, that's my meeting with them tomorrow. You need to get back here and let us train you. And we will spend our time three times a day if we have to, training you and getting you ready for what's ahead. But you may not know where the end of the road is. You're running down a dark hallway and hope a doorway's not open. I mean, it's this is a hard thing for these kids. Think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy uncertainty in this time. And, you know, if you're right, if you're one of those Kentucky kids and you're preparing to go to the draft, you have no idea if the draft is going to take place as scheduled. Depends on a lot of different factors. So just a crazy 24-hour period in the world of sports. When we come back, Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville will join us. We'll get his reaction to all of this and the crazy impact the coronavirus has had in the world of sports. That's next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Steve Lehman here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, the sweet sounds of Rocky Top. Thought heading into the week we might hear those at Bridgestone Arena at some point yesterday. As it turns out, we didn't hear much of anything at Bridgestone Arena, and we won't hear much of anything in college basketball for the rest of this season. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley and Steve Lehman coming with you from News Channel 5. And now we bring in our good friend Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. Josh, what's going on, man? Thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Yeah, good morning. Good to be with you guys.
So, Josh, what's kind of been your reaction to not only the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament, but just, frankly, the world of sports in general? The last 48 hours, I think, have been probably a crazier time than any of us have ever seen in terms of cancellations, postponements of leagues. Just what's been your reaction to everything that's happened in the world of sports the last 48 hours or so?
Yeah, it's hard to find a comparison. I don't know if there is a real comparison to this. With everything being essentially shut down, not everything, but close to it, it's a bummer. It's disappointing. I'm in Knoxville, so that's a big college town, and Tennessee's about to tip off there in Nashville against Alabama with the SEC tournament, and then, boom, Tennessee season's over, and the Lady Vol season is over, and then you get the announcement later in the afternoon with the other spring sports and what's going to happen there, and you think about Tennessee baseball, and it's having a really good start to the season, then all of a sudden the hope that was there of what Tennessee could do with the NCAA tournament and maybe trying to make a run at the College World Series later in the year, that's taken away. I would also offer up that there are bigger subjects here to cover, but sure, sports, of course, ends up being our focus. And I do think the NBA decision a couple of nights ago was a wake-up call for other sports, and Greg Sankey's comments have backed that up. Rick Barnes had a similar thought yesterday before and then after the decisions were made. So I can't say that I didn't expect it to go the way that it has over the last 48 hours, but once it got started, I was not surprised to see all the other decisions that were made. So, you know, now in Sports Talk Radio world, where you guys are right now, where I am, we talk about filling time and, you know, what are we going to do to replace that entertainment. I would offer up a reminder there are other things and other people to keep in mind as well.
Yeah, no question, Josh. And we all understand that, I think. But I think it's okay to understand that and have your prayers for other people and the safety of this country. But at the same time, mourn the loss of sports when so many people here love it. And it's their enjoyment, and it's frankly their escape from the trials and tribulations most of the time. And now here it's part of that that we all have to go through. I was surprised yesterday because I agree with you. I think certainly the Rudy Gobert incident and then the NBA canceling or at least suspending the rest of its season was the tipping point in all this for every league and every conference and everything that happened yesterday. But I was really surprised hearing the comments from Rick Barnes before the game even that his guys didn't want to play, because I feel like most of the time in these situations, whatever you're sort of thinking outside the arena, when you show up, it's like, all right, let's go. Let's play. Let's do this. We're all in this together sort of thing. And that was not the feeling he gave off yesterday about his team at all.
Yeah, and I think that does come back to the NBA's part of it as well. I think that's where a lot of it is rooted from. And, you know, Knoxville, a lot of times when the NBA gets brought up, there's a lot of pushback, and I offer the reminder, you know, these college guys that you like watching, they look to the NBA first a lot of times. And I think when that Rudy Gobert situation happened and the weird Utah Jazz, Oklahoma City Thunder delay and then postponement and then everything else that happened with the league, I really do think that opened the eyes of a lot of people. And I know people have different opinions on what should happen and all that, but just from the player standpoint, as you're talking about, I think they looked at that and said, wait a minute, if the NBA is shutting down, should we be playing? And Rick Barnes' comments, Jay Billis, Charles Barkley, when they're saying, hey, if the pros are stopping, the college players probably should too. Well, the college players are going to hear that. And whether they hear it live or they see it on Twitter, this information and the opinions and all of that spreads more quickly as well, which you and everybody, I think, recognizes now. So I think that's a big part of it. I think probably seeing and following in real time and sitting there in the locker with their phone and catching up on what's happening. And if they're thinking, wait a minute, why did the NBA just shut down, but the SEC is going to send us out here and play? I'm sure that was a part of the players' thinking.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville on the line with us. And Josh, what's just kind of been the vibe and the reaction in Knoxville, not only to the news yesterday of the SEC tournament being canceled, but I mean, spring football for Tennessee has also started this week.
Yeah, and Tennessee does have spring break next week, so the Vols practiced on Tuesday and Thursday in football, and they already had a break planned, and then we will see what happens after that. Tennessee had a media session that was planned yesterday for some players to speak to the media for the first time since spring began, so it would have been the first time in a while that we would have talked to any of the football players, and that was canceled. So I think there everything is just on hold, like it kind of is in the SEC. The SEC had its own conference announcement canceling events on campuses and championship events through the end of the month. But what happens after March is still unknown. I think that's kind of the case with Tennessee, where right now they're planning to come back without classes in person. It'll be online. And then we'll see what happens in the month of April. We'll see what happens with the spring game, which is scheduled for April 18th. Does that take place? Does it take place with fans? These are the questions and conversations that are happening all over the SEC. I did notice, at least I felt like I noticed, a big dramatic shift in the opinions on all of this over the last 48 hours. I mean, think about Tuesday, right, is when the Ivy League announced that it was not going to have its conference tournament. I think that was met with an incredible amount of surprise in Knoxville. And when we were having the conversations, a lot of people were caught off guard, and a lot of people thought that it was the wrong decision. I had friends texting me saying, yeah, this is ridiculous. And by Wednesday night, Thursday morning, changing their tune on what the Ivy League had done and changing their tune on the entire conversation. So, again, a lot of people are still going to have differing opinions, but I've seen a shift in the tone toward this conversation from Tuesday to now.
Yeah, well, there's also a lot of liability there. You can't be the last one standing out there and still playing and potentially contribute to the problem when everybody else has made the decision to go the opposite way. And so there's definitely been a shift there. Josh, when we specifically look at football, because, I mean, at this point, everything else is done for the year, as Tennessee weighs whether they go back to on-campus classes and then ultimately they go back to on-campus spring football practices and the spring football game, what is Jeremy Pruitt and this team either going to get by finishing spring practice, or would they miss heading into next year if they're unable to do it, in your mind?
Well, what they would get is the opportunity to rip a lot of guys that now have to play more important roles, because while Tennessee did not have a big senior class last year, it had a very important senior class, the guys that helped lead the way, that helped get Tennessee out of a really disappointing start. And that's gone for the most part. Trey Smith's back on the offensive line, and he can help with that. And if Jared Garantano is the guy and he plays well, he could be one of those veterans that I think obviously steps up. But there aren't a lot of obvious names right now. There are a bunch of older players that now have to take on that role. So this spring, I think, is really important for those guys to get work. And then younger players who have more of an opportunity, like wide receiver Ramel Keaton with Jennings and Callaway being gone, and then J.J. Peterson at linebacker with Daniel Petula being gone and Kavaris Crouch out for the spring. It's an important time for those guys. What's lost as well, Harrison Bailey, freshman quarterback, if he's not able to practice or he loses practice this spring, that would slow down some of the progress you would hope that he would make as a newcomer, and that would apply to a lot of the other freshmen or sophomores on the football team as well. Off-season development will still happen. They can still work out, I imagine, and having Craig Fitzgerald back as a strength coach is something Jeremy Pruitt talked about earlier this week. I don't think that can be overstated. Three straight years for Tennessee to have the same strength coach is a rare thing for Tennessee football over the last 12, 13 years. So that's important for Tennessee. They can still be fine from a developmental standpoint, but this is a team that is in a kind of a transitioning offseason for the program. They need this offseason to be in full strength.
Josh, last thing for you here. Obviously, we understand this is an incredibly serious situation and still, I think, a fluid situation, but both you and I and Steve here, we spend a lot of time watching sports. I mean, that's what we do. We watch a lot of sports. Now we really don't have that option. What are you going to do over the course of the next few weeks here?
Give me some ideas because I'm struggling right now.
Well, it's bracket time, right? Brackets are supposed to be coming out this weekend, so we've been brainstorming. We'll be doing different brackets, cereal brackets, food brackets, TV brackets. So the listeners, the fans in Knoxville, I promise, are going to get the brackets. I would pass those along as well. I also had the idea, I don't know if you guys have watched Friday Night Lights, but I think I'm going to bring it back out again, the TV show, and watch one episode a night, and then I'll do a segment the next day as if it's a real, as if it's a real-life documentary, and we'll talk about what happened.
I like it. Yeah, I really like it. That's good stuff, Josh. Hey, thanks so much for joining us this morning, man. As always, we really appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. I like it. Bringing back out Friday Night Lights.
I mean, you got to be creative at this point.
Well, yeah, I mean, I put out a Twitter poll yesterday of like, you know, what are some hobbies you're going to pick up now that sports essentially for the next little bit are gone? And I got like 100-something replies, and they're just all over the place. Video games. A couple of people said they're going to knit. Like, knitting is going to be taken up. Quilting. Underwater basket weaving.
Do you think those people actually meant it, or that was just I don't know. So
somebody knitting. Sent me a picture of something they were knitting at the time. So this is a real thing. Woodworking. I mean, it was all over the place. This could end up being, you know, we might actually be more productive members of society.
We're going to have a well-rounded populace by the time we come back with sports.
A lot of people have tried to point out that maybe the birth rate in December is going to go way up.
Now, what was wow. What was funny is I was on Twitter, and I looked on trending topics, and I saw that ESPN Classic was trending. Oh, and I was like, and everybody was like, yeah, ESPN Classic is going to be the move this weekend.
I do think this, again, all these people making these crazy rash decisions yesterday, and I guess the good thing for ESPN is they can go back on this. But they essentially came out yesterday that they were consolidating channels where they would simulcast over the next little while and basically run SportsCenter 24 hours a day on ESPN. They have the largest vault of games and video in the world when it comes to sports. Give me like 2 days and I'm going to be craving something. It could be like a ping pong match or something, but just give me some level of sports. And they have the ability to do that, and they basically said yesterday, we're not going to.
You know, they've got that documentary coming out on, like, Jordan and the Bulls.
Oh, yeah. Have that released early.
Go now.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know how many people would watch that right now?
Do one episode a night? Oh, my gosh. They have massive
ratings. You got to do the OJ documentary again, which is fantastic, do it for a whole day. Like, it doesn't – like, you have so many games. Show the national championship from this year, even though it was awful, and I don't think a lot of fans want to watch that again. But it's, anything can work at this point.
ESPN doesn't have the rights to this, so they couldn't do it. But for CBS, TNT, all the Turner networks, they have the rights to the entire tournament. I think this is a phenomenal idea to play out the tournament as if it was happening and take like the best games of all time in that. So like, you know, you'd have the four best 116 games ever, and you'd play them over the course of Thursday, Friday, and you'd pick that bracket, and you'd get into the second round, and you'd pick those as well, and you'd go all the way through. I think that would be phenomenal television. I'd rather have the real tournament, but as opposed to having nothing, that would be incredible. I hope they would decide now to get that done, because they've got the space.
Yeah, there's no question. When we come back, we're going to get into some thoughts that Rick Barnes had with Marty Smith after what was supposed to be their game against Alabama yesterday. Also, we'll take your call, 615-737-1025, and your text messages as well. What's been your reaction to all of this news coming out of the world of sports? And what are you going to do now that sports is no longer really an option to watch when you get home from work every day? We'll take your call, 615-737-1025. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Steve Lehman from News Channel 5. We're breaking down random TV shows. That's what we've resorted to. It's just been a wonderful time.
There's really a dearth of that, too.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Like, we just got a text in on the text line that says, March Madness has become March Sadness. I had no idea how sad and how, like, the choices have gotten so bad with TVs, like TV shows on regular TV. And it's a good point.
I mean, I'll be honest. I don't watch a single thing that isn't, I guess, sort of a pay-to-watch, an HBO, Netflix, something like that. I don't watch a single thing on network TV except for, occasionally because of friends and things like that, The Bachelor.
Like, yeah.
I can get into that. It's mindless, whatever.
It was great the other night.
But that ended the other night. So yeah. We don't even have that now.
Don't worry. They've got one coming back of like a Bachelor with like a musical theme to it. I saw that. I was like, what is this?
Oh, that has Nashville written all over it.
Oh, there's a shot of Broadway in it. And I'm like, oh my God, they're coming here. No thanks. But it's going to happen. It's already happened. So
well,
that's where we are.
Now you're going to have to, like 3 nights ago, you probably thought, I'm not doing this at all. And now you probably have to give it a chance because there's nothing else.
There's nothing else to watch. That's right. It just is a crazy time. 615-737-1025. What are you going to do now that you can't watch sports at night? That's, I mean, we've had hobbies and texts come in, tweets come in, just running all over the place. We'll take your calls and texts there as well.
So I thought yesterday, as this was all going down, in my what am I going to do thing, I really thought, like, maybe I'll go all in the gym and just spend, like, a ton of time in there because, honestly, the last, like, 6-8 months have been difficult for me to do even as much as I wanted. But now I'm like, now I got all the time. I could go on. But then I started thinking about how hygiene-friendly in this time is that to go in and go to the gym. Like, so part of me is totally scared. And really, I'm not – I hesitate to say this. I'm not that freaked out by the coronavirus thing because I'm fairly young and healthy. But do I want to go in and be sweating around where other people have been sweating and doing all that? So it's like, gosh, I'm not even going to get like healthier out of this whole thing.
I'm probably just going to get really fat. Like, that's basically what it boils down to. Like, I'm going to shut myself indoors this weekend. My wife and I have already talked about this. We're just going to eat some food. Like, and I do that anyway. Like, I eat a lot of food. But now there's no sports. I just, you know, when I get bored, I eat. So I there's a good chance that I might end up being 350 pounds here in a couple months. Ooh. It's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to that. Somebody just said disc golf, taking that up in this time. So, I mean, I guess, you know, disc golf, you're out there kind of by yourself.
My friend does that.
Yeah.
It's intense, man. It's hard to do, actually. Really hard.
I could see that.
I tried once. He tried to get me into it, tried to give me the fundamentals of it. I'm like, first of all, you're not a professional disc golfer. You don't have to tell me this stuff. Second of all, you're taking this way too serious. But I'm like, hey, whatever floats your boat, man. I still probably watch wrestling every now and then. You know, everybody has a niche. You guys watch The Bachelor. I don't watch it. I can care less about that show. But whatever.
You say that now.
Yeah,
but
everybody has their thing, you know?
Ty texts in on the text line, says, I'll have the greenest lawn in Tennessee. Last night, I spent 3 hours playing with baby dolls with my three-year-old. This is all new territory for me. I think there's a lot of new territory going around down here, Ty.
Uh-huh. No, it is. It's just crazy.
Well, we mentioned Rick Barnes before the break, and he had an interesting conversation yesterday, I guess after what was supposed to be their game against Alabama got canceled right before tip-off. Here's what he had to say in an interview with Marty Smith yesterday.
You said to me earlier when we chatted that your players were fearful of this. They were scared to death was the words that you used. As a leader, what message do you say to them now that this decision has been made?
Well, what we talked about right before our power talk with our team this morning, they had expressed, you know, what's going on here and this, and they had concerns. And what I just went in and spoke to them after you and I spoke was, and the decision was made, I wanted them to know this was a precautionary, you know, decision, which should be made, but I didn't want them to be alarmed. But I said, I want them also to take it serious. I didn't want them to think there was somebody in this building right now that had the virus. But I said, but you have to understand this is very serious and that you've got to take it serious and not be kidding around about it, you know, and acting like you're going to touch this guy stuff, that guy stuff. You got to be serious about it. But I'm just happy because I do know that the right decision was made for those guys because they really hadn't had a voice in it. And the fact is they were wondering if we were going to do the right thing.
I don't know if he meant it this way or not. And Marquise, you just kind of said it too. Didn't that sound like a direct shot at Rudy Gobert?
Yes, touch another guy's stuff.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Rick Barnes just with the, don't be acting like you're going to sit here and touch everybody's stuff and messing around. Rudy Gobert did exactly that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
And to his credit, by the way, he came out yesterday and issued an apology, and it was forthright and full of remorse. Because, I mean,
I get it. Like, you don't think you have it, and you're just messing around.
Yeah, he didn't feel bad at all. it seemed the way the precautions were being taken at the time seemed kind of crazy to a lot of people. I mean, yeah. We just heard Josh Ward last hour. The Ivy League looked nuts.
Yeah, they did.
They looked like they had completely gone off their rocker, and it was like, oh my gosh, what are these smart people up in the Northeast doing? Like, they're not that smart. And then they lead the entire tidal wave of cancellations in sports. And so there's just a lot of stuff that have happened this week that seemed like it was an impossibility on Monday or even Tuesday of this week. And now here we are at 6:54 on Friday morning, and it has all come to pass.
It really has. Let's go to Adam, who wants to weigh in. Adam, thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's up, man? All right, so, yeah, we went out last night. I took my family out, and it was kind of like our last hoorah before we bunker down for a couple of weeks at least. But it was weird because we went to a restaurant, and you look at the bar, and I'm like, what are they watching? Like, it just that just kind of hits me when I walk in there, and I look, and it's just something stupid and old, and it's so weird, man. And all right, I watch the Preds every two nights, and to have, like, this playoff push and run and then just everything stop is so weird to me. And when you think, even if they were to restart in, like, two or three weeks, I think a lot of people's going to get hurt, man. Like, coming back off of that, rusty, it's probably going to be – so ugly if they don't get hurt. But I don't know, man. I think the December baby thing's real. I think spend a lot of time with your families, man, and who knows. Like, I watch way too much sports, honestly, and so for me, I'm kind of lost. Maybe rewatch House or Andy Griffith or something. I don't know.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam, appreciate it. That is, like, he brings up a good point where, like, you could be out at a restaurant or bar or whatever, and most of the time, like, either the ambient noise that's going on or at least what's on the TV, it's just like a sports game. I mean, yeah. And now you're just like, okay, I wouldn't even have noticed it before, but now you go in and they're going to be showing, I guess, like Iron Man on TV or something like that, movies or something. Like, I don't know. What do you do if you're
American
a sports
Ninja
bar
Warrior,
now? Like, what do you show?
I mean, just all that stuff. Old Westerns, it's going to be crazy. I think his point about the Predators, I've thought about this too, and we have Terry Criss coming up later.
Yeah.
It's something I definitely want to get in to it with him on, is what do you do now? I mean, I'm sure guys will try to work out a little bit on their own, especially towards the back end of what looks like it's going to be at least a month here, and try to keep themselves in shape, but you can't work out on your own and be in hockey shape. You certainly aren't in playoff hockey shape.
No.
And so what happens if the NHL says, okay, now it's April 15th. The regular season should be over, but we're clear to go. I'm sure they'll come back and they'll practice for some level of time, a week or something, before they would actually play. But, I mean, if they throw in a few games left in the regular season to finish, because that's another question.
Yeah.
Do you put in a few games of the regular season, or do you just say, we're calling it where it was? And then if you're calling it where it was, the Western Conference is a fascinating picture right now, because by points, the Jets are number one in the wild card. The Predators are number two off of a tie break with the Canucks, but they're tied in points with the Canucks, and both them in Vancouver have higher percentage of points possible than Winnipeg. So it looks like out of that, the Predators would be good to go if you stopped it today. But the question is, are they the one or the two? And then who's the other team that gets in? Is it the Jets because they're technically higher in the standings as we stand right now? Or is it the Canucks because they have the higher percentage of the points possible given the games they've played? I think all that's fascinating in terms of what the NHL will do. And then how do you deal with that as teams to make sure guys don't get hurt, don't blow things out the moment you step on the ice and try and play a Stanley Cup playoff game?
Well, the other part of this is, like they've said, you got to self-isolate yourself. So it's not like you're going to be spending time on the ice or, you know, doing these other things. I mean, you can work out, I guess, at home, or maybe there's a gym you go to where you feel comfortable. But like you said, Steve, it's hard to stay in hockey shape that way, especially when your body's been so used to doing this for, you know, 60-some-odd games, almost 70 games now. So that part's going to be really interesting to monitor as they go forward here. When we come back, some interesting comments from SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey after the SEC tournament was canceled yesterday. We'll listen to those and react next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Steve Lehman, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.